I love this church, Supernatural Life Church. I love this church. Hallelujah. I love you. I love you. Well done. Well done. I'll definitely be back next year. Praise God. Definitely be back next year. Hallelujah. Praise God. And it won't be in this venue. It won't be in this venue. Yes. The Lord is enlarging you in this city. He's enlarging you in this city. And I pray for you today. I pray for you today. The capacity you need to carry the weight of what God is bringing, I release to you in the name of Jesus. The spiritual capacity is released to you in the name of Jesus. The financial capacity is released to you in the name of Jesus. The human resource capacity is released to you in the name of Jesus. God will send you men of stature. He will send you men of skill. He will send you men that will love you. He will send you men that will support you. You will never lack help. In the name of Jesus. I'm so excited. I'm happy. I'm going to do this quickly. Remember, I brought books here. I like to talk about people buying books. You need to develop yourself. Very, very important. Very, very important. I like this book here. It's titled All Year Round. So, it's like you getting me to coach you, me and my wife to coach you all year round. So we have 52 tips for 52 weeks. So that's why it's called all year round. So basically, we'll be, apart from you having the physical book, we'll also be sending email reminders of everything we want you to do every week. So every week we'll give you a task to do to your wife or your husband or your fiance or whatever. So it's like me coaching you, basically, every week. And trust me, if I coach you, you'll be a great lover. Amen? It will just work. Your marriage will work easily because I'm just there reminding you every week of a step to take. So my wife wrote to the women all year round what they should do once a week for their husband. I wrote to the men all year round for men what men can do for their wives every week. It's a beautiful book. Comes with a lapel pin and a pen and a lot of other things. Beautiful gift pack. So Christmas is coming. Beautiful gift pack. And even if it's not Christmas, just buy husband and wife. Come and buy the pack together. It'll be a blessing. Praise God. Yesterday I talked about some other books. I won't go into all of them again. Please get the books. They'll be a blessing. I don't want to waste time so much talking the book. But I want to talk about our best-selling book, A to Z of Marriage, one of our best-selling books. I and my wife wrote this book. We discovered that many people, when you tell them, love your wife, love your husband, they don't know what that means. They say, okay, I love her, but she's not feeling loved. Or I love him, but he's not feeling loved. All right? Nobody's marriage fails because of bad intention. Everybody has good intention. Somebody gets what I'm saying? There's nobody that got married with intention. So what is your dream for this marriage? You say, for you to crash. In 2 months. Nobody has that dream. So what happens is that people have good intention, they just don't have good understanding or good action. So what we did in this book also is that I coached the women what love means to a man. And my wife coached the men what love means to a woman. They are simple, easy to read in alphabetical order, A to Z. They are simple, easy to read stuff, you know, one with each alphabet. You can even finish it on your drive or if you're in the car, you're going to work. Easy. A to Z. So for instance, the A, we taught the women that one of man's needs is acceptance. A for men is acceptance. Men like acceptance. Praise God. Men like acceptance. You see, one of the ways to get a man to change is actually to first accept him. I'm not talking about toxic behavior now. I mean basic stuff. All right? One of the ways to get him to change is to accept him. Men love acceptance. This is why carnal men like to hang out in bars. And in bars, everybody's too drunk. There's nothing you can do that will make them hate you. Amongst drunkards, there's nothing you want to say that they'll be angry. If you say, I kill my mother, I'll say, ah, you're a bad guy. They will drink. They will drink to it. Men like acceptance. So men like to hang out where they are accepted. So if you want a man to change, you must first accept him. I'm saying this because one thing women do is that women like to change things. From the time a woman sees a man that she's interested in, she's making up a mental note in her head, all the things about him that she will change. Say, this is kind of dressing. I don't like it. I'm going to change it. His beard. I'll remove it. I'll shape it. The way I see me now, this is not how I was before. I didn't have afro. I had skin cut. I didn't have beard. My wife changed. She had all those plans. Made me change it. Afro. It has to look better than this. She just made. And I think her design worked. I mean, it's working. So women come like that. Women are fixers. Because they are good at nurturing, they are fixers. So they don't like to leave anything the same way they meant it. They like to improve it. So as she's seen the man, she's saying, now, this is teeth that is not all lined up. We'll file it. There has to be the same thing. She's planning all the things going to change. But the only challenge is that she wants to now forcefully change the man. Women's problem is lack of patience. They want to pray, then they want to answer the prayer. They can't wait for God. So when they pray, they go and do something about it. So they go and tell the man, you know, you have to change all this. Well, the key is not, don't confront him. Men are warriors. When you confront him, you know, his natural reaction is to fight and defend. He's a warrior by nature. He doesn't know any other thing to do. So when you confront him from the front, he fights. Because a man fights for everything he has in life. It's a kind of different world from that of a woman. A man fights for everything he has in life. So once you come to him, he's a warrior, he's going to fight. A woman generally, not that women don't fight for things, but you see, the whole world favors women. The whole world feels, women are already facing a lot of trouble. Let's help them. That's how the world sees it. So my staff, they were coming to my house one day for a meeting. Their car broke down. Three guys, one lady. Coming for a meeting in my house. The car broke down the highway. And the three guys, they were being nice, told the girl to sit in the car. The three guys came outside to try and stop cars. And of course, nobody stopped. Three men standing on the highway. They're saying, I'm robbers, so no stop for them. I'm robbers. Nobody stopped. They were stopping cars for hours. Nobody stopped. They now borrowed themselves since. The men entered the car. The woman came out and stood outside. The men stood outside. Three cars stopped. Because if you say woman stranded, damsel in distress, men will generally come out to help. So men generally fight for things. That's how it works. That's why marketers know that you use women for marketing. Don't use men. Nobody's going to answer men. A man is knocking at your gate that you know I met before. I'm telling some, say, we are not buying. Leave this place. Who told you we are buying? Look, please, security. But if you say a very pretty woman, just knock at your door, please, and they say, what are you selling? Come inside. Why are you in the sun? What is wrong? We don't need this thing, but because we want to encourage young girls, we want to encourage you. We want to buy three. Let's buy three of this. Praise God. So you see, you must understand the psyche of a man. He's a warrior. If you want him to change things, don't confront him. If you confront him, he's going to defend. He's going to fight for no reason. He doesn't even know why he's fighting. It's his default setting to fight. So if you want to change him, stand by his side, not in front of him. Don't confront him. Stand by his side. Accept him. Tell him, look, I love you. If you maybe your husband eats and makes loud noise when he's in, mwah, mwah, mwah. You want to change him. Don't come and say, "Say I eat like a bushman. What's wrong with you?" Come by his side and say, "I love the way you enjoy food. That's why I like cooking for you. The way you eat your food, it shows you're enjoying it." Say, "Thank you." They're not telling him, but you know you can't eat like this outside. Because people just think you're a bushman the way you're making noise. So don't do that. He will receive more. That's why David had an encounter with two women. His original wife, Michal, wanted to change him by shouting at him. Say, "Why you guys the king dancing like this, disgracing himself?" David said, "Your father." He said, "That's why God chose me before your father." David didn't want to hear that. But when Abigail wanted to change David, Abigail knelt down, spoke to David, and said, "You know you are a king. You are bigger than this. Like my Munogu said, there's a fool and a king in every man. It's the one you talk to that will answer you." Yeah. Hallelujah. So Abigail told him, "You know you are a king. Don't listen to this. Don't come and kill this useless man and sting your hand." All right, so she knew how to get him. So don't confront a man, your man I'm talking about now. You want to change, first let him see you as an ally. That's part of why Nigeria has not changed. That opposition party thing doesn't work. The best way to change something wrong is to join the people. Then change it from within. Once they notice you are not a threat, your advice, your suggestion becomes advice. When they notice you, when you're not with them, your advice becomes what? Criticism. And the natural thing people do when you criticize them is the what? Bring out their shield and defend. Even if you are right, they know you are right, but they can't agree. Because the emotion is stronger than the facts. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So, acceptance. We taught the women, learn how to be accepting. Accept your man. He throws his things everywhere, accept him. Don't shout at him. Don't try to confront him. Give him acceptance first, then you will change him better. For women, for the men, we coach the men that what women need is attention. That's one of number one need of a woman is what? Attention. Women need attention. Most things a woman do is for attention. Her clothes are designed for attention. So it has more shape. It has more colors. Everything about the clothes is for attention. And even some worldly girls have even taken it a notch higher by, you know, reducing the clothes. It's all one issue. It's the issue of what? Attention. When a woman's clothes, everything is showing, everything is tight. There's only one thing she's looking for. It's not that the material finish. Is one thing she's asking for. What's she asking for? Attention. It's attention she's looking for. So it's a need for women. See, most times, Satan doesn't create. Satan perverses. That's what Satan does. He perverts what exists. So he knows that women need attention. He now pushes them to extreme levels to get attention. It's a legitimate need. You just have to keep it within certain confines. Satan doesn't create anything. He just takes advantage of people's original need. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So a woman needs attention. So if you are going to be in a relationship with a woman or married to a woman, one thing you must give her large doses of is what? Attention. She can't make her hair, you wouldn't notice. She can't stay in a salon for 5 hours. She comes back, the first thing you say, "Where's my food?" Those are punishable offenses. You must give attention. All right? Sometimes she just needs to talk. And that's why sometimes your wife or woman causes trouble for no reason. You're wondering, what's wrong? Now, why are you giving attitude? She needs attention. If you don't give the attention willingly, you will give it in quarrel. But this attention, we shall get it. So, give large doses of attention. Just call her for no reason. Just check on her. If you're in the same house, if she's cooking something downstairs, just go and hang out with her. Sometimes if she's in the bathroom, just go and hang out with her. Give her attention. Sometimes just notice her. Stay with her. Just gist with her for no reason. Because men are very, very practical. So they feel, if I don't have anything to say, I don't need to call you. No, in the world of women, you just call for no reason. It's a major calling point. So what are you calling for? For no reason. It's a valid point. Praise God. Is somebody getting this? Attention, I'll do R. R, we taught the women, R for men is respect. So we told the women, men like respect. It always causes argument. People say, who told you? It's African men that like respect. No, Pastor Miller read the scripture today. It's a scriptural principle, not a cultural principle. Is somebody here? It's not a cultural thing. Because what feminists, and by feminists, I don't mean dictionary definition of feminists. Dictionary definition of feminists, all of us are feminists. We're all God's children, we're feminists. We believe that women should have equal rights in everything. I'm a Bible feminist. All right, but when I mean feminism, I'm talking about those people that have perverted the meaning and the cause. All right, they are just expressing anger based on how somebody else has treated them. So those people, you know, they when you say, men need respect, women need love, they say, who told you? Is it, are you saying that women don't need respect? Are you saying men don't need love? That's not what we're saying. You see, respect is a major need for a man. In fact, when God said that, it's a scriptural principle, like I said, Ephesians 5:33. My wife read the scripture. In the NIV, he made it simple. He said, husbands, love your wife like the way you love yourself. And you, wife, see to it that you respect your husband. So there's nothing cultural. It's not a Tilogu village manual that I read that from. It's a scriptural principle. And it's the maker that did it. And what he did is very simple. It's very profound. You see, what God did was that he was speaking to the major need of men and also speaking to the major weakness of women. Then on the other hand, he was speaking again to the major need of women and speaking to the major weakness of men. What's the major weakness of men? Loving. That's husbands, love your wife. It seems simple, but it's a big issue. Because men naturally don't love. Why? The first time they created Adam, he was alone. He was never used to taking care or looking out for another person. But from the first day Eve came, she came with clear instructions to take care of another. So women naturally care. That's why God would always time and tell a woman, love your husband. The woman does that naturally. Women are natural lovers. They love husband, they love children. The woman was created with the capacity to take care of herself and other people. Women naturally multitask. Men generally don't. A man's major function is vision. Vision, you don't even need distraction. Vision, one mind is what you need. And that's what men have, one track mind. Women, on the other hand, they were created from beginning to multitask. God gave them a womb and a breast. It's for a reason, because they will take care of somebody else other than themselves. And look, God can't equip you physically with a womb and a breast and not equip you emotionally and not equip you mentally to handle the task. God is too powerful for that. So scientists found out that when a male child is 6 months in the mother's womb, that there's a rush of testosterone that comes into that child and cuts the nerves that connect the two sides of the brain. That's the male. So they say it's tantamount to brain damage. That what happens to that child is almost like brain damage. So a man can't use two sides of his brain at the same time. So this is why when you're talking to a man, if a man is thinking, he's not talking. If he's talking, he's not thinking. If he's going this way, he can't look this way. If he's going this way, a woman doesn't understand that. Because a woman juggles things in two sides of her brain. She naturally multitasks. That's why she can take care of herself, take care of kids, take care of her husband, take care of everything, take care of the house at the same time. And she's wondering why this man, the only thing you're doing here, just eating, shouting, we are a useless man. Because the biggest challenge of somebody that is competent is pride. When you're very competent, you wonder, why is everybody slow? Why are people dull? People can't see these things. No, sweetheart. That's why God told her, respect the man. Because when you marry this man, you'll find that you are way better than him in too many things. He's not like you. He thinks slower. Even though he thinks deeper, but he thinks slower. So he tell you something. Women don't understand when men say want to think. Because women are thinking as they are talking. In fact, talking helps women think. The more they are talking, they are processing their thing. Hallelujah. It's because your processor is fast. Our own is analog. So we're thinking. So I'm thinking about it. Women don't understand it. Give a man 3 kids to take care of them. By the time you come back, you say, I can't find 2. It's only 1. How many children did you drop here before you? Because right, it's only 1 I can find. The other 2, I don't know. He will lose track. But a woman will easily handle 3 kids. easily. Because she naturally can multitask. She's juggling things between two sides of her brain. So it's like what happened yesterday. They put too much load on the generator or whatever. I don't know. But that's the kind of happen. When you put too much load on, even a socket, if you plug too many things into a socket, it's going to explode. But you see, that's how a man's brain is. If you plug too many things at the same time, it will lose track. But for women, it's clear with capacity. Like having two generators. So they are handling the stress way easier. Handling different things. So a woman can be doing homework with a child, talking to her husband, also with somebody on the phone call. My wife annoys me when you're watching a movie. I'm watching a movie with her. She's still playing game and watching the movie. I said, are you watching a movie or you're playing game? Because she has two sides of her brain. One is playing game, one is watching a movie. Me, I'm just watching a movie. And when I don't hear something, I rewind. I said, I didn't hear it, rewind. She will say, no, that is it. Even with her game, she's telling me what they said in the movie. Because she can multitask. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So God in that Ephesians 5 spoke to our needs and weaknesses. He spoke to a woman, say your biggest challenge will not be love. You will love your husband. So God didn't waste time telling a woman, love your husband. He said, look, your biggest challenge will be respecting your husband. Because when you find out he's not like you, he's not as versatile, not as fast, he's not as emotional, not as caring. Because you are going to make a lot of sacrifice for him, he might not reciprocate at the same pace. So you will feel resentment. And when women feel resentment, they will disrespect you. In fact, they don't even see it as disrespect, they're just saying their mind. But it's disrespect in the world of men. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So that Ephesians 5, God was not just giving general advice. You will never see anywhere in scripture where God speaks to men and women the same in marriage. Never. He always gives them different instructions because they are two different beings. So he will speak to the woman and say, look, your challenge will not be love, so I won't waste time with telling you to love your husband. What I waste time with or take time to do is tell you to respect your husband, because that won't come to you naturally. But when you meet him, you'll find out he's not at your pace. You need to consciously, with effort, respect him. You, the husband, loving your wife won't come to you naturally. You are not used to making sacrifices. If you check everywhere in scripture where God spoke to men about love, he always had to involve self. So you hear, love your wife the way you love yourself. He can't tell him anything. If you tell him just love your wife, he doesn't know what that means. But if you tell him, God knows he's quite selfish. He came alone. He was alone in the garden, taking care of himself. It's like when somebody's an only child, sometimes they struggle with accommodating other people. Because they are used to being the only center of attraction. See, your siblings are one of the best ways for spiritual growth. Your siblings will annoy you. They will teach you that life is not all about you. Your siblings will teach you. They will. Those days, I was last born. Okay, not those days, I'm still last born. I'm last born. We have 5 boys in my house. You know, I'm the last born. You know, my eldest brother is a major general. He preached in our church this morning. He's a major general in Nigeria. I mean, he's based in Abuja, but so I'm in Abuja, he's in Lagos. He preached in our church. So my mom said, you guys go and fetch her. Those days we have to go to well, a few distance, fetch her and bucket. Me, I'll do last one, I'll cry. All this. My mother said, leave him. My brother said, for what? Say, you can't carry this big bucket. Say, let him carry small bucket. Your siblings are not, they will teach you life. Can never forget the day they ate my orange. That's a long story. I don't want to go there. Boys are very wicked. Girls are generally compassionate. Boys. They gave me orange. My brothers came and saw 2 orange, 1 big one, 1 small one. They said, who has orange? They took the head of the small one. When I came, I said, I'm dead. I'm not eating this orange again. Who took my head? The head. You know, orange just says they cut the head bigger. Say, you took the head. I said, I'm not eating again. On that one, that didn't know what's happening, came and saw 1 orange without head. He said, this orange is not covered. It's not good like this. So he ate that one. When I came, I said, I'm dead. End this world. And restart it. Boys, on that one came, saw orange. Say, who has orange? Took the top. Say, let me leave the bottom for whoever owns it. At least let me take the top. When I came, I saw the my brother. That's how they finished all the orange. And they're still walking about this earth. If I catch them, your siblings teach you. So you know, men were alone, so they didn't know much about caring for others. They know about caring for self. So every time God wants to teach them love, he has to talk about self. So God said, love your wife the way you love yourself. He can relate. If you tell God, man, love your wife, you make your wife happy. He doesn't understand. See what God says. He that finds a wife finds a good thing, and he obtains favor. If you don't tell a man how it will benefit him, he's not going to get it. If you say love your wife because you make her happy, you'll never see God tell a man that. It doesn't connect. But God can tell a woman that if you do something, you make your husband happy. A woman is actually happy when she can make her man happy. She gets happiness. Men are not like that. You say, you love your wife and everything, you will find favor. You say, I understand that one. I need favor. See 1 Peter 3. The Bible said, husbands, deal with your wife according to knowledge. He said, so that your own prayers. Every time God talks to the man about woman, he talks to the man about the man. I don't know if somebody's getting what I'm saying. Everywhere. You will never see God tell a man that love your wife to make her happy. Man doesn't say, that's her business. She likes you. Maybe she'll be happy. Man talks to me about how to make him happy. And men, this is important. I have 7 things I can tell any married man that is struggling that will change your life. If you're a married man, you're struggling. 7 things I can tell you. I don't have time for that today. But one of it is about treating your wife well. To turn your life around like this. Instantly. Instantly, if you treat your wife well. I'm not talking about doing show. I mean for real. Even when nobody's watching. Even when she won't know. Because you know you can cheat on your wife and she won't know. But the blesser knows. Say your prayers will be hindered. So treat her well is one of them. Second one, listen to her. Most men that make serious mistakes don't listen to the advice. See, the whole purpose of marrying that woman is defeated if you don't listen to her. He said, two are better than one. So you are wasting the whole concept of marriage if you marry someone you're not going to listen to. Some of the best decisions of my life came from my wife. And in fact, it still pains me that I didn't listen fast enough because I learned this thing slowly. It pained me I didn't listen. Men don't use ear to hear. This ear is more designed. Pastor, when I come next time, I'll talk about the difference between man and woman. This man's ear is designed. He doesn't really hear from here. He hears more from here. This is why I say, woman, you must know how to pray. You must know how to pray. Nagging and shouting doesn't help. He doesn't hear much from here. He hears much from here. My wife has a book titled Praying for Your Husband. That's the book that changed my own life. Because when she began to pray for me instead of just trying to correct me, women, you must learn that criticizing your husband, washing him down, won't change him. Women do that because women are externally motivated. They think men are. No, men are internally motivated. So women respond to whatever is going on. When there's worship, who responds faster first? It's women. When they play music, women generally, when David won the battle, women that put him in trouble, they came to dance. That David has killed his Saul killed 1,000, David killed 10,000. I mean, what's going on? They put the man in trouble. Women are responsive because they are more externally motivated. But men are more internally, men can be stubborn. What that thing they want to do, if something doesn't change them from within, they will continue like stubborn. Even when you attend, they say, no, I will do this. Until they go and do it and fail before they hear. So I was slower in hearing. Now, all the things bringing me blessing. Instagram, that I have about 700,000 followers. My wife told me to go there since. I said, no, I'm not going. She now, by force, opened my account. I still didn't go for 2 years. My account was open. I didn't do anything. Eventually, when I started, it just exploded my ministry globally. But she had already said it since. YouTube, the same thing. My wife told me, go on YouTube. I said, no. She said, go. Last month, our income from me and her, our income from YouTube was about $8,000. Last month. I should have started since. She told me since. I said, I'm not going. If you're here, a married man struggling, I can give you 7 things that will turn you will prosper. This, you can't marry and be broke. He said, he that finds a good and obtains what? Favor. How do you break scripture? You can't marry and go down. If you marry, one of the things that must happen is that you must go up. So you are the one not maximizing what's happened. A woman is a favor pipe. A woman brings favor into your life. Especially if it's a good woman. Bible says a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband's head. Who wears crown? That's it. So when you marry a right woman, she like enthrones you. She's the kingmaker. Ladies, you are the kingmaker. This is why you can't be begging a man to marry you. You are the prize. You are the one that should be begging. You can't be begging somebody to love you. You need to know your own value and carry yourself with value. Are you here, somebody? You can't be begging somebody and they are mistreating you, maltreating you, and you are still waiting. You are begging to be loved. No, you are the crown. Anybody, see, ladies, don't say I want to marry a rich man. No. Any man you marry will become rich. Somebody didn't get that. It's cheap girls that say, I can't marry a man that is not rich. No. You carry the riches. Anybody you will marry will become rich. You are the crown. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? When you are talking like that you can't marry a rich man, it means you don't know your value. You don't know what you carry. God put favor upon you for anybody that will marry you. He that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains what? Favor. So R for men is respect. I said that was a long gist to say R for men is respect. Respect unlocks a man's heart. That's how men were created. They like respect. I've been a counselor for 20-something years. You saw my profile. I counsel both internationally and locally. People from every part of the world you want to imagine. Malaysia, America, Canada, everywhere. And 99% of the time, and I kid you not, I still counsel this week. from Ghana, from everywhere you want to think about, 99% of the time, the only or the major complaint the man has, when it's a couple counseling, the man has about the marriage is respect. And I kid you not, I didn't make this up. Because people always argue, are you saying women don't need respect? Are you saying men don't need love? That's not what we're saying. God is trying to say that the way they both see it, whenever there's a crisis, a woman sees it from a love perspective. She'll say, you are doing this thing because you don't love me. The man will see the same problem and say, this is happening because you don't respect me. It's the way they are seeing it. We don't see life the way it is. We see life the way we are. So God was giving you a clue. Some of you to be arguing with God. Just take the advice. God is not dragging anything with you. He's the creator. He's just giving you suggestion that this is wiser than your own way. So men see everything from a respect perspective. If your spouse carries your plate to the kitchen after you eat, women see it as an act of love. Men see it as an act of respect. Same act. That's what God is trying to show you. That men see life from a respect perspective. Women see life from a love perspective. Are you here, somebody? So a man's major need is respect. 99% of the time in counseling, all the woman is talking about is summarizing to love. I don't feel loved. All the man is talking about is summarizing to respect. She shouts at me because she doesn't respect me. She comes late from work because she doesn't respect me. She doesn't do it because she doesn't respect me. She's not having sex with me because she doesn't respect me. Every all the problem in his mind is linked to what? Respect. So we taught women, the R for men is respect. You must learn to be respectful. Learn to communicate with respect. You can get a man to do anything if you tell him respectfully. Abigail, like I said, Abigail understood that. I call Abigail the unforgettable woman. I have a series titled The Unforgettable Man, The Unforgettable Woman. David was the unforgettable man. There were qualities he had that made him an unforgettable man. Abigail was the unforgettable woman. There's a woman you meet you never forget because of how they make you feel. Abigail understood that. Abigail was never married to David. But he heard David was coming to kill her family. She met him on the way. She knelt down to talk to him. She called him Lord about 10 times in one conversation. She knew how to talk to him, the man. And by the time she was done with David, David went back home. David agreed with her. And David was a warrior. But the woman turned him back. Women that have sense can control even something an army can't control. What would have taken physically to stop David would have been too much. One wise woman turned around a full army. If you know anything about David, David never lost the battle. If he was coming for you, he was coming for you. You had nowhere to hide. You know that movie that they say, I'm coming for you, or I'll be back. I'll find you. I'll find you and I'll kill you. What's that guy's name? I love the guy. Yeah? Neil, whatever, Neil, something. I love the guy's movies. So I'll find you. Even me one day house, I'll say, hey, God, help these people. But that guy is going to find you, he's going to kill you. That's how David was. Never lost the battle. Are you here, somebody? Respect. Then we told the men that the R for women is romance. Women like romance. You can't say you want to do this marriage game and you say, me, I'm not romantic, or you know, I'm just like that. You must understand, R for women is romance. Women from beginning were groomed with fantasy. This is just how life is. And your job as a man is not to bring her to reality. Some men think that's a job. You know, must be real, you must be real. You must see how things are. Nobody sent you that work, okay? That's not the assignment. Your assignment is not to bring her from fantasy to reality. Your assignment is to fulfill her fantasy. This world's already hard enough as it is. If you say you want to carry a woman, to marry a woman, then be okay with fantasy. Everything about a woman's life, from when she was young, all the cartoons they watch is based on fantasy. Rapunzel, Cinderella, all this thing. You lost your shoe. Somebody come and find you. Yeah? Lost your shoe now. You see it on eBay. They go sell them. You see, but it's built on fantasy. Somebody, a prince, will come riding white horse. We climb castle. We fight dragon for you. It's built on fantasy. And women love it. And this is how they've grown all their lives. Most women have a dream of how their wedding will look. They have a dream of how long their gown will. This is just how they've been groomed. So you want to come Mr. Reality. Calm down. Bring her fantasy to pass. Women like romance. And romance is not hard. Romance is doing the simple things in a special way. That's all romance is. The ordinary things, but make it special. Anybody can do it. You want to buy her perfume, don't just go and bring perfume and say, nee, I've seen, I bought the Givenchy. Come and start spraying it. Don't be that boring. Instead, find out the fragrances she likes. Women score everything 1-1. So if you find a fragrance she likes or you guess, for trying, for attempting, they give you 1 mark. You tried. Even if you bought the wrong fragrance, that you tried. You put effort. You say, I knew you liked this fragrance, and this fragrance smells like this fragrance, so I felt you would like this fragrance. You have scored points. Women are not like that wicked professor that only marks only the result. They mark, show you're working. They mark it, they give you point. Buy the perfume. Don't just bring it like that and come and drop it. Bam, I bought it. No, don't do that. Instead, buy the perfume, wrap it. They score you point. Then you wrap it, then you go and hide it somewhere. Don't just bring it to her and give her. Go and hide it somewhere, she will find it. If she has a car, hide in a car. If she's the kind of person that likes to cook, hide in the kitchen. Hide somewhere in the bed, somewhere. Hide it. And one day she'll be doing something and she'll just see something wrapped and there'll be a sticky note on it that said, I know you will find it the way I found you. Simple. Simple. It's ordinary perfume. Are you here, someone? It's ordinary perfume, but the way you delivered it, they will just score you 100 points. Say, pam, 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 before they spray the perfume. But most men say, let's be realistic. Let's go and price it together. Which of them can we afford? Hallelujah. Delivery. Hallelujah. Make it special. There was one time, the first phone I ever bought for my wife, it was not a new phone. It was not a fairly used phone. It was an unfairly used phone. It was not brand new at all. Unfairly used phone. Not those phones that you buy phone separate, buy charger separate. And buy manual separate. Unfairly used phone. But I didn't go there and say, hey, manage, you see, you know the way things are, just manage me. Some men try to, no. You remember your job is not to bring her to reality. You already sees reality. Your job is to fulfill her fantasy. Don't ever go to a woman and say, manage me, or you know I don't have. No. She already knows you don't have. She can see you are broke. Don't go and emphasize what is obvious. You are weakening her faith. Women like to believe. They want something to believe in. Go there and say, hey, manage me, or you know I cannot afford the iPhone 13. No! She didn't beg me for the phone, but her phone was bad. And I wanted to replace the phone. And I couldn't afford a new phone. I couldn't afford a fairly used phone. It was an unfairly used phone. That some of the buttons are not even showing again. You just guess that this is two. That was the phone I could buy. Phone separate, charger separate. But I didn't come and say, see, you know, I know you deserve more than this. But no! If your present is not good, talk about your future. Whenever you're talking to a woman, if your present is not good, talk, brag about your future. Nobody can compete or contend with your future. They can only challenge your present. If I say I'm going to own 10 skyscrapers in Abuja in a few years, how can you challenge it? It's not next year, I said. It's not a few years, I said. Are you in a few years already to know whether it will come to pass? What's your problem? Are you a hater? Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Talk about your future. I always tell my wife that I'll fly you around the world business class. That time, even me, I've not traveled. But today now, all that has happened. Yeah. Hallelujah. It has happened. Don't go there and say, manage me. No. Women like you to make them believe something. Talk about greatness. So I went there. We went to a show in Musonsen, a comedy show. She went to use the bathroom. I quickly brought out her phone that was bad, removed the SIM, put it in this new phone, and hid it back in her bag. So when she got back to her hostel, she was doing her master's then. I called her. She was hearing a strange ringtone from her phone, from her bag. They said, it's not your bag. She said, but it's not my ringtone. She said, but check it. She opened it and picked the call, found out that she bought her a new phone and put her SIM in it. And the ringtone was James Bond. Dun, 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 dun. You see, the woman will be more happy about the delivery, the thoughtfulness, the effort, than the phone itself. But you want to wait until you have. You see, you will first unlock the favor now before you can buy iPhone 13. Today now, I can buy any phone anywhere in the world. Are you here, somebody? So, R for women is romance. All right? Learn romantic. Learn to be romantic. It's simple stuff like holding hands, like hugging. You are walking with your wife, hold her hand. Say, no, I want to swing my hand. Are you a soldier? Say, I want to be swinging my hand. I don't want to hold anybody. Are you a soldier? Little acts of kindness. Both of you are coming to church together. You have kids. Help her with the bag. Help her with the kids. Don't just leave her behind you. You are just walking. Many people coming to church. The man is in front. The woman is struggling to carry the bag, carry children at the back. The man is just walking like a soldier. That's wrong. Women like when you show them care.
All right? Acts of kindness.
Simple things. Yeah, most things that you need to be romantic, it doesn't even cost money. It doesn't cost money. It's just thoughtfulness. Are you here, somebody? Doing the simple things in what?
Special.
I remember the first time my wife went to give birth in America. I took them there, dropped them with all the with my other kids. She was giving birth to our third child or so. Dropped them, or second. So dropped her with my first child and everything in America. Settled them into an apartment and I came back. So she was asking me, are you going to come back before I deliver? I said, I don't have time more. You know, I'm doing ministry. I'm busy. So I won't come back. Now I plan to come back. But don't just make it dry. You must put some effort. The same action you were already going to do, just make it a bit. Women like to be cheered up. They like to be amused. See, women are emotional. The things their mind is thinking is too much. So give her something to laugh about. Give her something to cheer about. Do you know in Bible, they say when you marry, you should go off work for 1 year. Deuteronomy 24. So when you marry, say go break for 1 year to cheer up your wife. It's in the Bible. I'm not the one that wrote it. So that shows you women need some excitement in their life. Don't carry all your trouble and come and bring to her. No, she needs some excitement. Her engine works better when she's happy and excited. I'm telling you. She has so much capacity, but it's tied to happiness. I don't have time to go into some things. I have no time. If I start entering it, it will take us to another thing. Because we are stressing women in this world. That's the truth. Women have no business working as hard as they work. Women should work when they want, how they want, for the kind of time they want. It's biblical and it's scientific. When I teach, I can give you both scriptural, statistical, and scientific proof. So anywhere, any direction you want to go, I can debate it with you. CNN brought out a report last month. CNN, so this is not, they're not born again. They said the stress level for women in the workplace is getting so much, most women are deciding to quit work to stay at home. Because when men hustle, what they feel is testosterone. That's the hormone released. It makes men thrive at work. Those deadlines, those late hours, it even helps men to live long. Men start dying when they resign or retire. They like work. They need work. It releases a happy hormone in them. That's why I see men bragging about work. I was in the office till 10 yesterday. Then I would say, I slept in the office yesterday. They are bragging about work. And it looks like complaint, but it's not complaint. It's bragging. It's bragging. It's about who is stronger. Someone said, I was in traffic for 6 hours. I said, I was in traffic for 3 weeks. Because when a man is stressed, testosterone is released and is a happy hormone, is a good hormone for him. It helps him bridge the gap. When a woman is stressed, cortisol is released. That one kills the woman. It reduces her immune system. So she's more likely to get cancer and other sicknesses because her immune system is reduced because she's stressed. So what makes a woman happy, however, they said a woman's happy hormones, which is oxytocin, flows when she sees things related to family. So when she's happy in her marriage, she lives longer. Are you here, somebody? So when she breastfeeds, oxytocin flows. When she's happy in her, this is why when a woman goes to a hospital or somewhere and sees another woman with babies, they all gather. Hey, Chuku Chuku, who is this? How are you? It's releasing something in them. They feel happier. Men, when you see babies, hey, who be baby? I don't know. It's responsibility. Men see baby as responsibility. Our happy hormone doesn't flow with children at all. Are you here, somebody? We're wired differently. It's all in scripture. Even science agrees with it. But we've allowed people with social issues to just confuse us. Women, yes, women are great managers in the workplace. But we should never push them to work as hard as they're currently doing. They should work at their pace. They should work at their pace. Their body wasn't structured for the stress they're going through today. Are you here, somebody? All this is introductional. Hope you have been blessed, sir. Are you here, somebody? So I was giving the story. Because I was talking about, you know, women are family-oriented. Men are work-oriented. It's how God made it. Like I said, when I come next time, I'll major on the difference between men and women. It will help you. The first thing God gave a man was work. That's the first thing God ever gave a man. When he landed on earth, is work. That's why till tomorrow, a man's first love is his work. Men love work. Men get their esteem from work. A woman, on the other hand, the first thing God ever gave her was a husband. So women like family. Women like marriage. Women like romance. They like relationship. That's the first thing she ever got. Are you here, somebody? So a woman's first love is love. A man's first love is work. This is why marriages struggle, because we don't identify that we are different. Nobody has evil intention to the point of breaking their own marriage. Nobody. What happens is that we don't understand that both people are saying the same thing, but seeing it from a different perspective. It's like the four people that went to check an elephant. When four blind people that went to check an elephant. They all came back. One says it's like a strong bone that is tall. Another one says like a trunk of a tree. Another one says it's a long rope. Another one says it's a very big wall. They are all correct. They all touch different parts. They are all part of the elephant. But when we come together and unite what we saw, we'll get a full picture of the elephant. Instead of arguing that my perspective is the only correct one. Men are work-oriented. This is why men will leave their family to move to another city to work. A woman will leave her work to move to another city to stay with her family. Gladly. Gladly. This is why when men meet, if you meet your old classmates, after, hey, how you day? Long time, man. Good to see you. Kingsley, man, what's up? How you day? Next question is, what do you do? To determine if I'll collect your number. To determine if I'll talk to you again. What do you do? Say, I'm actually just looking for a job. Look. Say, see you later, man. Your number won't be saved. Even if you give me, I won't save it. There's no card for unemployment. But you say, hey, man, what do you do? Say, I work with Chevron. I work with Mobil. So I work with the government. I'm PA to the PA. To the PA. Of the special advisor to the special advisor. You say, oh boy, we got to hook up, man. Man, we got to see now. I don't want to say you connect to presidency now. Let's hook up now. Immediately you say that, your rating changes. The way the man sees you, the way he connects with you, the way he respects you. It's about work. They get their esteem from work. Women, on the other hand, you meet your old classmate 20 years after school. How are you, Jane? How is everything? Are you married now? So when we do old school meeting, alumni meeting, guys that don't have good jobs don't like to come. Women that are not married don't like to come. Because we're going to compare notes. What I've been doing. The guys that are successful are glad to come. The women that are happily married are glad to come with children. Say, oh, you're married now. Yeah. This is my three children. See, John, Junior. They won't know the age and the men don't even have children they have. Are you here, somebody? If a man goes to those men meeting and he's single but doing well in his work, he's happy. In fact, the other man will praise him. He says, you're 42. But you're not married yet. But what do you do? I'm a manager of so-and-so bank. Say, oh boy, you're living the life. You're a big boy. You're a manager in this bank. Oh boy, you know that they control things. So it's nothing to be ashamed about. They go even the praise him. So, boy, they chop your money alone. It's a joke. It's a happy. But be a man or be a woman. You come, you're 42. Say, how you doing? I'm a manager in a bank. They say, are you married though? Say, no. They'll say, oh, hey, yeah. It doesn't matter how you're successful. As a woman, if they feel you are not doing well, family wife, they pity you. You are a prayer point. Is somebody getting this? So what's the wisdom in this? As a woman, don't try to distract your husband from his work. Instead, help his work. Invest in his work. Let him know you are praying for his work. It happens a lot of times when, I've used my whole time to talk about book, but it's fine. Are you getting blessed though? Because what happens, women are always confused. They say, when the man was trusting me, he was talking to me every day, talking to me every hour. Now I've said yes, he has stopped talking to me. He's busy all the time. Yes, because men are hunters. They are project-oriented. Project is accomplished. There's no need for him to chase you. He loses all sense of motivation. He needs to now go beyond his feelings to consciously continue to pursue you. It won't come to him naturally. Are you here, somebody? And women are hunters. He doesn't have my time again. The key, don't try to compete with his new project. Because remember, his project is a hunter. No hunter, after he has caught the antelope, still runs around his house to hunt. He has caught the antelope, it's time to rest or get on that project. So what you should do, instead of competing with the next project, now become a part of the next project. So he still finds you interesting to talk to. But most men want to compete with the project. Everything now is church. Everything now is work. His work is always his first love. A man will gladly leave his marriage to focus on his work. A man doesn't think there's a problem, even though his marriage is bad. If his work is doing well, he feels happy. Woman, on the other hand, even if her career is doing well, if her family is not doing well, she still doesn't feel happy. So the key is that we should both bless each other. As a man, become more family-oriented. That's why you have a wife. The wife brings the balance. The difference is for balance, not for contention. We turn our differences to trouble. That's why they call quarrels differences. That's why the major reason for divorce is called irreconcilable differences. Difference are not bad. They are to give us balance. If all both of us are so work-oriented, we will not be strong in family. If both of us are so family-oriented, we will not be strong with work. We need both. And God shared the division of labor. So what we need to do is to be considerate with the woman in terms of family life. Make sure she's happy with the activities in the home. Are you creating time for family? Are you going on vacations? Are you spending time with the kids as a man? Make sure you are pouring into the family life. Go on date nights. Some men, since you toasted your wife, you knew all the fast food joints when you were toasting her. The moment she has agreed now, you've not taken her anywhere. It's just children and family. You are saving money now. Take her out for no reason. Go on date night. Don't wait for anniversary. Just go on date night for no reason. And the rules of date night, dress up. Don't wear slippers and short knicker. Dress up. Make it look special. It mustn't be tuxedo, but at least dress well. All right? Find the kind of place she will like. Women like it when you already have it. Not that, where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? It shows you there's no thoughtfulness. Instead, tell her, honey, I've checked some restaurants. I feel there are two you will like, but there's one I'm going to choose. I feel you will like it because I know you like seafood. So I know I picked this one because they have good seafood. The fact that you have put in some effort before the time, they will call you man. Pam, 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 pam. Sense. Pam, 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 pam. Date night. So you tell her, this kind of place I know you will like. Now, even if she doesn't like the place, the fact that you thought of her is still mark. Pam, 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 pam. So you take her on that, they dress up. The rule is that she's free to order anything from the menu or from your plate. Yes. She's free to eat anything on the menu plus anything on your plate. On that rule, for date night, no phones. You keep your phone aside. The only time you bring out the phone is if she wants to take picture. After picture, keep the phone aside and just focus on her and talk to her. Just talk. How she's feeling. How are you? When we met. What I liked about you when we met. What has changed since we met. Women like to talk about relationship. Talk about it. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Hallelujah. For you as a woman, like I said, your own job is to pray for his work, encourage him at work, understand when he needs to do some late hours, if it's real late hours at work. Encourage him. Hallelujah. So let me finish that gist. So I thought I'm not coming back. Oh, I'm busy. So I dropped her in America. I came back to Nigeria to do ministry. But about 2 weeks or 3 weeks after, one Sunday, I just told her, hey, I'm going power bike because I ride motorbikes. You know, so I said, those days, I don't drive now again. But I ride motorbikes. I said, hey, honey, I'm going biking with my guy, so I'm able to pick my phone for a while. So she said, that's fine. But I was not going motorbiking. I jumped into a plane, landed in America, told them to take her out. They took her out. I entered the house and sat down. So when they came back, she opened the door and she saw me. She said, eh? You see, instead of just saying, I'm coming on Tuesday, cook for me, or I'm coming. You are boring. This life is too difficult for you to be this boring. Women like excitement. Don't make our life boring. Put some fun. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Put some fun into it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me end from this. I've used the whole time to talk about books. I've not even preached my message at all. But let me end by saying this. The summary for me today will be, We need more people to learn how to manage their emotions. I think that's the biggest challenge we have today. People have come to believe that what I feel is always true. Your emotions are real, but they are not always true. Your emotions are real, they are not always right. Your emotions are free, they are never final. It means you can feel some way today and not feel like that by the end of today. Don't fall into the trap of allowing your emotions control you. Big mistake that this generation is making. They think what I feel is authentic. The Bible says, don't deny your feeling. You are what you feel. You are not what you feel. And you know the interesting thing? In every other area of our life, we've learned how to manage emotions, except relationship. That's the place we want to control, want our emotions to control us. Every other area, we've learned how to do things we don't feel like. Ask Pastor Patricia, I don't know how much you like singing, but I don't know if it's every day you're in the mood to sing. Some days is when you get up here that the anointing comes on you. I'm a preacher. It happens to me that some days, even as a pastor of the church, I don't feel like going to church. I'm the senior pastor. I said, this Sunday, I want to watch series on Netflix as the senior pastor. When you just feel that working 9 to 5, There are many days, but Abuja is a bit more calm. If you live in Lagos, you wake up 4 a.m. because of traffic. There are many days you won't feel like going to work. And you wake up, maybe you've had a busy weekend or something, or it's raining heavily in the morning. You just want to cuddle and do duvet and sleep with hot chocolate. And your alarm goes off, it's time for work. You don't feel like going to work. While you're saying, I don't feel like going to... Your body's already in the bathroom bathroom. While you're still thinking about it. So in every other area of our life, we've learned how to do what we don't feel. But once it comes to marriage, we say, I don't feel loved anymore. I don't feel connected to you. I don't feel attracted to you. I don't love you anymore. We want our feelings to control us. If we can learn, whether you're single or married, to understand that your feelings are real, but they are not always right. Your feelings are real, but they don't have to control you. You are actually created to control your feeling. And people that don't manage their feelings end up not doing well in life. Because your feelings can always lead you astray. Do you know why we have more single people now than ever before? People are looking for their one true love. Do you know that? I said it yesterday. There's nowhere that says you marry who you love. Instead, it says you love who you marry. Nowhere that says you marry who you love. This doesn't mean you should marry who you hate. That's not the point. The point is that most of what we are looking for doesn't exist. Are you here, somebody? Many people want to marry their one true love. So everybody's going about looking for, what they mean by one true love is somebody that will emotionally excite them. That's what they mean. So they're having all this spec. What you don't realize is that that thing you are calling your one true love, that thing you are calling your spec, is not the way you were born. It was programmed. And you can change it by reprogramming yourself. See, if you are programmed from a very hungry perspective, a very greedy perspective, you will only find rich men attractive. It's your programming. You say, it's just me. I don't just like poor people. No, you were programmed with hunger and greed. You see, so this is why, because the environment we live in, there's a lot of hunger and greed. In developed countries, if you tell a lady that we're even going on a date and we'll split the bill, it's not so strange to them because the women, they are not poor. They're not coming from a help me perspective because they're women and men work. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. People understand that your bills can't be paid if you're not working. But here, women generally believe a man must take care of all my needs according to his riches in the bank. So this is why you don't realize that some men don't look rich now, but they will be rich. You are the one that programmed. Why are you not attracting this man? He's not tall enough. You sat down and groomed yourself to find tall attractive. And like I said yesterday, I've not seen one marriage that you say, what's your secret for the past 10 years of happiness? You say, is this my husband's height? Is why he's walking. I've never seen it anywhere. Height has no bearing in marriage. It's just how you've been programmed for movies and things you watch. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You can't allow your emotions control you. You can't allow your emotions control you. Are you here, somebody? What is emotion? Emotion is just a deep feeling, a strong feeling. That's all it is. It's real. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm saying it's not always right. We have too many singles. They are looking for their spec. The thing they are calling spec are funny things like height, like nose, like complexion. That's what they're calling spec. He's not just my spec. Who created your spec? You created your spec. You can recreate your spec. Try to make your spec more internal qualities than external qualities. Try to make your spec to focus more on possibilities than perfection. What do I mean? If I'm looking for a house in Abuja, I want you to help me. I'm looking for a house in Abuja. I want it to be a bungalow that has a basement. That has 2 swimming pools and 3 palm trees. That's what I want. That or nothing. What are the chances I will find this house that has exactly all these things? What are the chances? Very low. However, what if I say I want a house that has space where I can build 2 swimming pools? That has space where I can plant 3 palm trees? I can find that house today. You see why we are single for long? What you are looking for as a spec are things you will add on. But you want it complete. So many men with the potential are coming, you're not recognizing it. Many women with the potential are coming, you're not recognizing. You want the one that is complete. This is why many girls are dating married men. Somebody has done the add-ons. Somebody has done the add-ons. You say you want a rich man. You are the favor carrier. Marry him, he'll be rich. I was very broke when I got married. I asked my wife, very broke. Very broke. My church wasn't paying me a salary when I married my wife. So I didn't have any natural source of income. Today, you know, money is not an issue that I think about. Are you here, somebody? But she brought the favor into my life. She didn't marry me that time. I won't be here. This is why many girls, their spec is married men. Psychology is not going anywhere. Psychosis is still going to thrive, because as long as these young girls, all they want is these finished products, it's only married men that are like that. No single man is like that. Single man is still trying to arrange his own life. That's why he needs a helper. You are looking for somebody they've already helped. Catch your sub. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So we are going about, all of us are looking for a spec. You see young men in a church. There are other young women in the church. You have a job, everything. Why are you not married? You're looking. Now, does this just mean you must marry anybody you see? There is spec, but the spec has to be internal, real qualities, not height, not hairstyle. See, you must differentiate what you want from what you need. What you want is different from what you need. When you are young, you can like a man for his hairstyle. When you are grown, you will like a man for his lifestyle. When you are young, you like a man that spends money. When you are old, you like a man that saves money. Because now we have children, we have responsibilities. So you need to understand, most things people are built, say, I cannot marry a man that is not a graduate. That's not what you want. What you want is a man that is intellectually compatible. Because some graduates, you can't stand them. And some people that dropped out of school are geniuses. The people controlling the economy of the world, most of them are school dropouts. So you need to be clear. There's what we call clarity sessions. Many people don't know what they're even looking for. You want a house that has 2 swimming pool already. What are the, how many houses do you know that has 2 swimming pool and has exactly 3 palm trees? It's not a bad desire. You must just realize that what you need is a house with the possibility or the potential to have that, then you start adding it on. You will create. God never gives you finished product. That's not how it works. He gives you the potential. You perfect it to your own taste. It's in Ephesians 5, he said he'll present to him a church. He presents to himself a church. So you are not going to present your bride to yourself after you have worked on her. She won't come like that. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So let's cool down with all this spec. I asked my mother. I asked her some weeks ago, how did you meet my dad? She said it's very simple. That she was in Anglican Church Youth Fellowship. They had an elder, a married man that was, you know, coordinating them. That one day the elder came to her house with my dad. My dad was working in Lagos. They were in Enugu or Onitsha or something. The elder in the church brought my dad to my mom's house then. She was single. They were both seeing each other for the first time. He said, this man wants to marry you. I believe what has happened that because the man is the elder of the church, my dad had contacted the man and said, hey, you are the one coordinating you two. I need a good Christian woman to marry. And the man said, okay. She looked around and saw that this girl was well behaved. So brought him. He was seeing her for the first time. She was seeing him for the first time. He said, this man wants to marry you. I asked my mom, so what did you see? The mom said, you looked at him. Said you liked him. She agreed that day. And they were married till my dad passed on a few years ago. They didn't divorce. Of course, they had normal issues that couples have here and there. But you see, my point is, how many times in those early days did you meet a woman that is in her 30s and single? It's rare. When we're young, it's rare to see a woman in those days, most of the people, ladies here, in even their 20s would have had all their children. But you see, because that time they knew something we didn't know. They understood that the love comes, you do the work of the love after the marriage, not before. We want to marry who we love. But the Bible says you should love who you marry. I'll say that again. We want to marry who we love. But the Bible says you love who you marry. There's nowhere the Bible said marry who you love. Nowhere. We are the only species that marries for love. Every other species marries for survival, sustainability, and suitability. Every other species. Even animals understand that. They marry for survival, sustainability, and suitability. We are the only species looking for love. And the challenge with that looking for love is that one day you will find it. And you will depend so much on it. And what you don't realize is that love, because there are two, that two sentences have, the two loves are different. The first one is emotional love. What you don't realize is that you will find that love, that person that will excite you. Only that there will be a conflict because you will see that the excitement and the action are not matching. Yes, you are both excited, but